The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. I came to give life and give it more abundant. That word life there is the word Zoe. It's the God kind of life. It is the abundant life. This is what Jesus is talking about here, about having an abundant life. And, you know, God, if you haven't gotten this by now, God wants you to have a good life. And I think we're really blessed around here because we don't really deal with the doctrine of trouble builds character. Pain makes you strong. We don't really believe what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Sorry, Kelly, but what we believe is the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Lord is the strength of our life. And so we believe that God does want us to have an abundant life. So I think if you spend any time at all and you put all the preconceived religious teachings down, you're going to find a God who is a good God who wants you blessed. He wants you to be at peace. He doesn't want you in dread. He doesn't want you feeling like you're in trouble. He doesn't want you stressed. He doesn't want you worried. He wants you just living in peace. He wants you to be brave. Have some courage. Enjoy your life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I really think that if you take a good look, you're going to see, hey, he made a beautiful garden for the first people. Their only boundary was to not eat from one tree. That's pretty good. And then we see heaven as a beautiful place. I mean, it's just all good. And then we see Jesus who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So everything that God has presented is about a good life. The Bible says that he brought forth his people with joy, with gladness, his chosen with gladness. None of them had clothes that wore out. He brought them out and he brought them into a promised land. And I think it's important to know that in such a time as this, we're in this place right now where we look at this and we say, well, America seems like we're in Egyptian bondage, but we're coming out. Now, that's okay if you want to look at the nation like that in your prayer. But we, the people of God, we are the Joshua group. We're going into the promised land. We're conquering the promised land. We're in there. And so we need to see ourselves living in a land that overflows with milk and honey. And I believe that when you live well, you can witness well, and you can help people well. It's a little hard to, the Bible actually says something about that a man who's in poverty, his words aren't very prominent with people. They're not very important to people. So, now that doesn't mean God doesn't love them. That just means that the other people look at it that way. Well, what's God doing for them? They don't look like they're very blessed. But so actually being blessed, living a good life is actually a witness tool for the kingdom of God. And it's a witness mostly of how good Father is. That he's a good God who makes supply, who takes care of his people. Amen. So I just want to talk to you. I understand that you believe this, but how do you find your good life? I want to talk to you about that. And we understand that if you are going to find your good life, just to mention a few things that I know you all already know, is that you have to come out of this religious thinking that God is some sovereign God who's angry at every sinner and who's, you know, wants to beat you over the head. You have to come away from that kind of thinking, which you obviously have. And we pray that others will get the right revelation. Amen. And so but when you look a little deeper, and I ask you that again, how do you enter into your best life? How do you enter into your promised land? How can it really be good? You get up in the morning, you're happy, you're in the rest. If something difficult comes along, if a problem comes along, you hit it head on, solve it, and move forward. You know, I mean, how do you live that kind of life where you come up with answers? How do you live in that place? And so I would just submit to you that your Zoe life or your best life will be found in the Bible, and it's something called the rest. The best is in the rest. Say that with me. The best is in the rest. We are people who belong in the rest. And the rest is a place of trust and dependency on Father. You trust Him. Hebrews 4 says, for he that entereth into the rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So the rest is a place where you stop toiling. You stop the toiling. Look, Hebrews 3 is really about Numbers 13. Okay? You know that you know what Hebrews 3 is about. He's talking about the provocation when they provoked God because they wouldn't believe. You know that. So over in Numbers, God told Moses, tell one of each tribe, go over to the promised land. You're going to spy it out. They go over there to spy it out. Oh, my goodness, there's fruit so big. I mean, they're coming back with some great stuff for show and tell. Everything's looking good. But here comes that but. Better get that but out of the way if you're going to live in the rest. But they didn't. And so here they come in. Yeah, but these cities are fortified. These people they've got it together. And we saw giants over there. The people of Anak are over there. Uh-oh. And so, man, in our eyes, we were like grasshoppers. So if we see ourselves like grasshoppers, we know they see us like grasshoppers. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what happened. They didn't enter the promised land. They stayed outside the promised land for 40 years, and then the next generation came in. Long time. Hebrews 3:15 says, if you hear God speak today, don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn like those who rebelled, who heard God and rebelled. All those whom Moses led out of Egypt rebelled, with whom was God angry for 40 years? He was angry with those who sinned and died in the desert. Who did God swear would never enter the place of rest? He was talking about those who didn't obey him. So we see that they couldn't enter the place of rest because they didn't believe. How you gonna enter the place of rest? Believe. Amen. So what happened? They knew it was their promise. They knew it was their promise. Do you know what's your promise? They saw the wonderful fruit. Have you seen some wonderful things that God has done? That he's made available to his people? But they saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves that way compared to the challenge. They looked at themselves. Wrong focus. They looked at what they could do. And God didn't ask them to do it on their own. He said he would do it. All through the wilderness, over and over, this is happening. This is what they're saying. Now what are we going to do? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Murmur. Complain. We should go back and eat leeks and whatever it was, and garlic, whatever they were eating back then. You brought us out here to die. I mean, it was just all, what are we going to do? Did you know God answered them every time? Water out of a rock. Manna from heaven, all the quail they could eat. He supplied for them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. It said none of them were sick. He's supplying for them the whole time. How are we going to cross the Red Sea? He made a way. Church, this is actually why the Mosaic Law came out in the first place. The Mosaic Law came out in the first place because they just said, hey, Moses, just go up there on the mountain and get him to write down what he wants us to do because we can do it. However, that sinful nature cannot do it. So they immediately began to fail. But God, in his mercy, gave them a sacrifice.
That's right.
A sacrificial system. He gave us the ultimate sacrifice. But they had a sacrificial system until the day that Jesus came. Did they? Yes. The Passover lamb. Amen. And so that sacrifice was in place. But they thought they could do it themselves. Hallelujah. We have Jesus and we don't do it ourselves. So every time they saw something they came against, I want to say this to you. They reverted back. Reverted back. Reverted back. Reverted. Reverted back. Reverted back. Every time a challenge came, they reverted back. That's not our calling. Hebrews 3:19 says, so we see that they couldn't enter the place of rest because they didn't believe. They didn't mix faith with the promise. They didn't take it personally that God would be the one who would do it. He was willing to do it even if he needed to change natural law. He would do it. He would find a way to do it. He's El Shaddai. He created everything, but he could change his own creation to make sure that his people got what they needed.
That's right.
He was willing. So today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. The word, is this word today going to profit you? Will you mix it with faith? That's what this says right here. Being mixed with faith in those who heard it. They didn't do it. Not being mixed in faith with them. But the word, when mixed with faith, you're going to enjoy the promised land. You're going to enjoy the rest. So I guess what we could just, you know, they call this hard heart. Hard heart. Hard hearts don't believe the word. Hard hearts complain. Hard hearts toil. Hard hearts do not rest. So you can't really have your best life if you have a hard heart. So what about the hard-hearted? You know what they say. I know you know what they say. They say that our hearts have been hardened by other circumstances. But the fact is that we harden our own heart. We actually harden our own heart in response to what's been done to us. Haven't you met people that I'll never love again? I'll never trust again. I'll never da-da-da again. And they put up all these walls because they don't want to ever be rejected again. They won't love again. They won't respond again because they don't want to be hurt again. That's a hard heart. Can I tell you that's not the only hard heart? The complainer is a hard heart. The worrier is a hard heart. Amen. All of these things are just so true. When God told Moses that Pharaoh, that he would harden Pharaoh's heart, you remember that? He said, I'll harden. If you go find the original, it's not that. It's God told Moses, Pharaoh's heart will be hardened. God didn't do it. God brought forth these plagues, these miracle happenings, and Pharaoh got harder. Sometimes the very goodness will harden someone's heart. Imagine that. So, and of course, when justice begins to come, some people get harder. Well, I'm not giving in. I mean, they'll just get stiffer and stiffer. Hard heart. That's what happened to Pharaoh. He was not going to give in. He was not going to give up his gods. And so he hardened his heart. Amen. That heart, you know, has a mind and feelings. And the easiest thing for us to say here, this is what he was. He was stubborn. Right. We understand that word. He was stubborn. Don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn. You know, do you realize you're being stubborn when you keep trying to do it yourself? I'm not going to let you do this, Lord. I'm going to worry about it. I'm going to toil. I'm going to keep this calculator out until something appears. And it's not going to. You're just going to stay in that. It's quiet in the house today. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be stubborn. Believe what he tells you. Now here it is. Take it personal. Take him personally. Believe that he can supersede any situation, any circumstance or illness or oppression. He can do it. He can remove the stop signs. He can remove the death sentence. He can get you out of prison. He can. He will. He wants to. Say this after me. I believe my Father loves me.
I believe my Father loves
me. I believe he wants me to win.
I believe he wants
me
to win.
I believe all things are possible with God.
I believe all things are possible with God.
I believe he'll come through for me.
I believe he'll come through for me.
I will not revert to my own nature.
I will not revert to my own nature.
I will not revert to my own natural thinking.
I will not revert to my own natural thinking.
I will live in the supernatural. I will not harden my heart.
I will
mix faith with the word.
I will
make his word and his promises personal.
I will give his word final authority
above my thinking and above my saying. Amen. I believe, therefore I speak. Now don't you feel better? How do I mix the word with faith? How do I do it? I told you already. Take it personally. You have to take it personally. Don't read the book as some knowledge or some historical thing. This is, dear Roxanne, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Dear Roxanne, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no sorrow to it. Dear Roxanne, I love you. I'm willing. The curse is broken. Dear Roxanne, take no thought. I will take care of you. You need to put your name in there. That's what those letters are saying to you. That's what historically the things that happened, God proved himself over and over to his people. Thank you, Jesus. Give that word final authority. No. He said this. Man, I feel like I got the womba goddess. I feel bad. I sure do. I just feel like that. What's the word say? The word says you're healed. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. We're coming up to a deadline. Here's the deadline. Hey, faith will take you out of time. Faith moves you out of time. You don't have to look at the deadline. Look at God. You won't have any deadlines with God. You're like, yeah, but you don't know. My landlord will be sitting there waiting. God's bigger than your landlord. God's bigger than your bills. God's bigger than any debt that you might have. In fact, God is the God of debt freedom. God is the God that can wipe out all your debts. God is God give you a free house. Huh? I couldn't get a free house. Well, so why don't you take it personally? Why don't you just take it personally? He'll either give you the money to pay for it or he'll find you a way. You can buy without money if you have faith. He can get you, yeah, but I have bad credit. Your life isn't based on your credit. But if you're going to go around talking, well, I can only have this. I can only have this. I can only have this. This is all my credit. We'll say, I can only have what my credit says. I can only have, if that had been the case, I'd have never gotten anywhere because I had zero credit because I had no debt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I didn't have to get a loan anyway. Mm-hmm. So it can't be based on your credit. It can't be based on what you think. It needs to be based on what God thinks.
Yeah.
And he'll get all mixed up in your dreams and work with you about what you want.
Yeah.
But you're the one that will put the limitation on it. When Gloria put her house together, put the house together, and she said, damn, Kenneth, this is getting big. He said, dream on, girl. It's just a dream. But then God made the dream come true. God can make the dream come true. You're limiting yourself if you're not trusting God.
Right.
You don't know what you could walk into.
That's right.
You don't. You're just going. Well, this is all I can do. You're right. It's all you can do, but it's not all God can do. You're whatever. Listen.
This is how you're going to take it personally right here. John Osteen. This is the word of God. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. Amen. And this day I will be taught the inquiry. Yeah. So, but this is the final authority. This said I can prosper. This said I can be well. This said my family can be delivered.
Yeah.
This said that I can win people. This said I could be an influence. This said I could take the mountain.
Yes.
This said I could. God said I could. God said, "Dear Margaret, you and I will take the mountain. And I'll carry you up there if I have to." That's what God is saying. He's the big one in this thing. Take it personally. Doesn't matter what the circumstance or situation is. Get past that. Put that behind you right now, church. Some of you have come up to these places and you know you need some answers. You need to take all your calculations, all your stuff, put it behind you and believe God.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how it looks. Well, we're actually going to take away some of your paycheck. Oh, really? Okay, well... That's interesting. And then you end up going over double. So you don't run. You don't quit. You just move forward. When the world economics aren't going the way we would like, we know that kingdom economics are going the way we're like. And I'm using economics here. This is anything in life. God's going to do better. God Almighty, El Shaddai, can change anything that needs to be changed.
Yes.
Therefore, I cannot focus on the loss or the world economy or what's being reported to me. I cannot focus on it. And if you jump in there and you're complaining, yeah, you may say, "Did you see what they said?" And you laugh about it. But you can't jump in on complaining about it and worrying about it and thinking, "Well, America's going to go to hell in a handbasket there." No, America's not, because I serve the God that wanted America. And there are enough of us standing up and speaking right now with our authority, ambassadors of the kingdom that are ruling in our habitational authority. We're not going down.
Amen.
The Lord told me a few days ago that we're in the eye of the storm. I said, "No, I don't want to be in the eye of the storm. I want to be on the other side of the storm." He said, no, you don't understand. The awakening's in the eye of the storm. You went through this much. Now it's time for the awakening. There'll be peace, prosperity, blessing. Everything will be good. And then the rapture will happen and then you'll be gone. I don't know if that's 40 years, 20 years, 7 years, 5 minutes. I don't know what that is, but I believe it's true. I believe that the church of the living God will rise up and not be hidden. Take it personal, church. Well, the doctor says blah, blah. Well, Jesus took stripes for that.
That's right.
We will not let a dark intrusion stay.
Yes.
Do not let the dark intrusion stay. Yeah, but they wrote it down on my chart. Here's your chart. This is your chart. It may be a fact, but this is the truth.
Amen.
This supersedes it. But you're going to have to take it personal. Going to have to take it personal. It's for you. It's for you. Going to have to go ahead and say, "Yep. Yep." And you're going to have to just release all the yuck. "Well, I don't want to." Well, see, there's the stubborn. Then go ahead and live in the wilderness till you die. Because God won't keep you from that either. But it's going to be your choice. If you focus on the loss, you'll have the loss. Church, you have to read darkness its rights.
That's right.
lack right now. I tell you to leave my realm. You have no right to stay in the name of Jesus. I draw a bloodline around my finances in Jesus' name. I speak to the atmosphere around me, and I remind you that I have a covenant with Almighty God, and I have a right to be wealthy and living in a good home and driving a good car, and my kids can have what they need, and they can go to the right schools, and my country can be the right, go the right way. I have a right to that because I have a covenant with Almighty God. You have to you're going to have what you look at all the time. Whatever you're looking at, you're going to have. Whatever you're saying, you're going to have. If you keep looking at a failing body or a failing business, you're going to have it'll fail. If you keep looking at it that way. If you keep thinking about the bank account going down, it'll go down. As a man thinketh, so is he. Now we better cut back because we better cut back. You might want to think about not saying that too much. Mm-hmm. Have we gone into places where we budgeted? Yeah, so we could distribute somewhere else.
Right.
But if you start getting that thing, if it lulls out, I better. No, don't change your giving. Don't change your living.
Right.
Yeah, but. No, but. Take it personally. It will show up. Because what you think, you'll believe. You mix fear with it. That's going to empower the enemy with words, and he'll bring it to pass just like you're thinking it. Church, I wish I could just open up your head and your heart right now and tell you, look, if you won't let it out of here, it can't come.
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
It won't come if you don't. You're like, and you listen, don't go, well, yeah, but that thought came to me. It's coming from the evil one.
Right.
All you have to do is say, that's not my thought. It can't, if you start drifting that way, the diagnosis, that's fine. Thank you, doctor, very much. I believe in the great physician.
Yes.
And you overpower that. But then you can't go back and start making funeral plans.
Come on.
You're in the room with the preacher. Yes, I believe. Glory to God. I'm healed. Glory to God. Goodbye, Reverend. Now, when it comes my time, bury me by mama in the resurrection. No. First of all, I'm going by the divine kiss. You going by the divine kiss? I am, for sure. Like, what's the divine kiss? You know what the divine kiss is? How many of y'all know what the divine kiss is? You do? Praise the Lord. So, the divine kiss is when you go to sleep and wake up in heaven. You say, I'm leaving. See y'all. And you leave.
Awesome.
Now, I'm not sure you may be able to help me, Suzanne. I can't quote the number. I think the Jews say there's 110 ways to die. 109 are under the curse. Is it some number like that? It's some number like that. There's so many numbers you can die. They're all under the curse. There's one way not to. It's called the divine kiss. It's when you leave. Just leave. Time to go. Brother Hagin just left. They're like, oh, it's his heart. His heart was still beating after he was gone. They wanted to try to bring him back. He's like, I ate my strawberries for breakfast. I'm going to heaven. That's the way to go. You don't have to be people. You say, well, if I don't get sick, how am I ever going to die? Oh, that's easy. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that was free anyway. Hope y'all like that. That's what you should believe for. 120 years, young,
yeah.
Living good.
But what you think about is what's going to happen. I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Man, we learned that in preschool. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. They still have that little rhyme? They do? Okay, see? Thank you, Jesus, for that. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. We believe, therefore we speak. You can come out of it all. You can do better. Many of you are out of it all. It's time to do better. You can do better. Well, I'm comfortable. Yeah, but there's other people in the world. Now, church, I want to say this to you. Pick up on it. There cannot be real rest without provision. There can't be. But you get it on this side. It's not, well, I'll rest after God provides. He told you he would. So it's done. So the provision has been made. You see what I'm saying? But you're not going to rest until you believe that provision has been made. Do you have your house? But several of you in here looking for houses. Do you have them? Yes. Mm-hmm. Looking for a place to live? Yeah. Do you have your mortgage? Yes. Do you have whatever it is? Yes, he's a supplier. Are we going to have food next week? Yes, it's that easy, because everybody in here is going to have food next week. Mm-hmm. And everybody in here, by the way, we need you to bring a can of corn next week. Mm-hmm. They need it down at the, what's it called? The Helping Center. They need corn, canned corn, okay? So everybody brings it, if you want to. But you see, you can do that. You're not thinking, 60 cents. I don't know. And where is it? I'll have to go in the store. I'll have to look for it. Wait a minute. Can I use your calculator? You didn't think that about 60 cents worth of corn. No. So you might as well not think about $6 million.
Come on.
Glory to God.
It's going to come from the same place.
That's right.
Yes, I'll say that. So you think... You might think, you might not, but you could think, well, in the business I'm in right now, there's no way I really could possibly get up to those numbers. They're never going to pay me that much. Oh, so you're dependent on that business to do it. That job's going to get it. Job's a paycheck, right? You've been provided for, church. When that sinks into you, you're going to stop worrying and toiling, and you're going to start trusting. Provision is there. Stop lapping it. Tap it. Tap into it. Most of us know how to tap something. We tapped a lot of root beer kegs in our life. You have to bring that open. I said root beer. You had to put that deal down in there. Remember, you had to open that deal and stick that down in there and screw the lid on them. And then the root beer came out. But you had to tap it down in there. And then you were in, right? You tapped it. It's on tap. Supply is on tap. The supply is on tap. See, y'all know what that is. I just realized that. Praise the Lord. I'm just kidding. Now, you tap by tithing and giving. That's your tap, or sowing. But it's hard to do either one if you don't believe that it's going to come back to you. Right? Am I right? Because a lot of people aren't like you. They don't believe in the harvest. They don't get it. But that's the beauty of the Word.
The word, if you take it personally, is telling you what he will do. He will do it. But his word is more powerful than the word of a person. It's more powerful than what you're thinking. So if you put the word in there, it will take your thinking down and put that thinking up there. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. You think you can't get it? I say you can. Have you heard that song? You've got the brawn, I've got the brain, let's make lots of money. You remember that song? It's on a insurance thing now. Well, just change it. I've got the supernatural power, you've got the obedience. Let's make some Zoe life.
Oh, that's good.
Let's just make some good life. God's just offering you that. Let's just make some good life. Let's just have the best life. And the best life is the rest life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This is Hebrews 4:10. As we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works just as God celebrates his finished works and rest in them. So then we must give our all. Let us labor, therefore. Okay. We must give our all and be eager to experience the faith rest life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. How are you going to fall short? Doubt and unbelief. How are you going to get in it? You're going to get in it by being in the faith rest life and you won't fall short. But listen what it tells you. This is the answer to everything I just told you. We have the living word of God, which is full of energy and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being. Excuse me. Where the soul and the spirit, bone and marrow meet. Listen to this. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. Because it says this. I am Jesus. I am God. I am the supplier. I am the one that wants to give you life more abundant. And when that hits your heart, you go, yeah. When that hits your thinking, you go, my thinking's wrong. And it'll change your thinking. It'll come in, it'll cut through that and say, that's wrong thinking. You have an expectation on wrong information. You need to put your you need to have high expectation on right revelation.
Yes.
Amen. We have this. It's a two-edged sword. It's checking it out. Listen, back to that workplace thing. Workplace uses it's a place to put a demand on your potential. Okay. That's where you work. It's putting a demand on your potential. It's bringing things out of you. It's a job just will bring a paycheck. Okay? It provides a paycheck. Work produces potential. When you're there working with what you do and you're doing what God has called you to do, it'll bring potential out of you. You become a problem solver. You become an inventor. You become, your creative abilities flow when you get in your real assignment. And when those creative abilities show up, you become an answer to this world and you start taking your mountain. Man, that's just good right there. You just can't live in this place where, I just got a job. No, what are you doing out there? Well, I'm running heavy machinery. That's a big problem-solving thing.
Right.
We need people to do that. Well, I'm a craftsman. Boy, do we need that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people aren't doing that anymore. They're just doing little games instead of learning how to pick up a saw and use it. It's just true. Somebody needs to do it. There's all sorts of solving problems. I was watching a tiny house show, and y'all know what a CNC machine is? So they took a CNC that cut wood,
So it's cutting the wood, and it's cutting them into the, you'll like this, Jeff. They're cutting them into these little boxes. And you go in and you take your little soft hammer, you knock those boxes together, drill some holes in them, and you lay them all down, and then you stand some up and you put them all together, and there's a tiny house without knowing how to measure, use a tape measure, or anything. They even cut the insulation to fit in these things. And they say, we're not trying to replace the people who, they can build a tiny house faster. I mean, we know how to put 2x4s together, but not everybody does. I wish I could tell you where to find that. You need to go look for it. It's very interesting, very innovative. And they have a great idea. But let's keep some people knowing how to measure a 2x4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. God has some great inventions. God has some great ideas that he wants to give you. But your potential will start coming out when you start doing what God called you to do. You'd be a blessing to people. So just come out of that zone of, I've just got to get a job that makes enough money. And man, I'll complain through the whole thing because I'll hate it the whole time I'm there. That's exactly where you don't belong. You just do your boss a favor and move on.
Amen.
You got to get in a place where you can use who you are. I just thought I'd help you with that just a little bit as we're stopping here. Praise the Lord. We work without toil. If you do what you really love to do, you'll still be there at 6, 7 o'clock, and they're saying, you need to come in and eat. You need to stop. And you're like, look here what we're doing. Isn't that true? You're like, I like this. Look at this. Danny comes into my office sometimes, and she says, look at this chart. And she's got that circle chart thing with the pie and everything. Now, the church has this much, and this is how much we're going to, and she's shining. I mean, that's her superpower. I'm like, yeah, okay, go. No, I love to see. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, Your potential's coming out. You're helping people. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Work without toil. Thank you, Jesus. Trust God, church. Mix your faith with what he says to you. And make it personal. That's faith. God said, I will.
Yeah, that's right.
God said.
Yeah.